Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Monday, and welcome to, of course, the first Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast of the week. And we begin today, or tonight, or whenever you download it, we just begin with the Premier League games, where Wolverhampton Wanderers beat Brighton and Hove Albion. No one ever says their full name. Everton Rovers won at West Ham United. Manchester United Hotspur came from behind to win against Aston Villa United. And Arsenal beat West Brom. This, of course, was the reaction to all of that across the TalkSport network.
United will probably make more changes on Tuesday night as the schedule continues, that grueling schedule for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's men. But it's 3 points in the bag here this afternoon. Aston Villa 1, Manchester United 3.
Oh, fantastic. We are focusing on the football and we're focusing on performing every time we step on that pitch, every time we train. And the boys have been exceptional. Their focus has been spot on. We've got this group gelling together and it just showed again the character of once again bouncing back.
I think Manchester United can challenge next season. If you look at the rookie managers going into this season, you have Frank Lampard at Chelsea, you had Mikel Arteta, albeit the trophy to back him up, and you had Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. One of those has been fired. The other one should have been fired by now. So I think as much as I've given Ollie stick on this programme, I will make a small apology and say that I think, unlike the other two, he's learning on the job. He's clearly improving.
It's Aston Villa 1, Manchester United 2, and Mason Greenwood has put United ahead for the first time in the game. He turned Tyrone Mings, who perhaps should have done better there.
Every game he plays for Man United, he wants to do his best. He's 19. He played Thursday night, ran his socks off for 90 minutes. Then he plays here again. He's tired. He works so hard, and then when the moment comes, he scores. He's just got that quality in and around the box that not many have.
To get the 3 points today and obviously to get that important goal to get us ahead in the game, it's always good feeling scoring for my club. It's what I've always wanted to be doing, so now I'm just living the dream.
Aston Villa down to 10 men. Ollie Watkins, second yellow card, makes a red, and he's gone down in the penalty.
Ollie Watkins gets sent off for a second yellow. I know for a fact the referee cannot be certain that it has been touched because I've watched it slow down five times, and I don't know. So to give him a yellow card is questioning his integrity.
Full time here, Arsenal 3, West Brom 1. West Brom have been relegated from the Premier League. This result confirms that.
We didn't do enough against the bottom six when we played them. That was one factor that I made clear to the players if we are to survive. We never managed to win the games when or from winning positions, end up drawing instead of winning. And that's the only thing I can point at the players. The rest evolved very, very well from the end of January onwards and had enough time in the past games to have won them to give us a better chance of staying up. I'm still not saying that we would have stayed up, but at least we should have still been in the shout with three games to go, and that's not the case now.
I think Sam's the absolute man to stay, and I think he'll make them champions next year, West Brom. I think they'll come back up, bounce back, they'll do a bit of a Norwich, and I think they've got a really... If he can keep... I mean, obviously, it's very difficult with loan deals because Fulham have got this problem. They go down with quite a number of loan players at their football club, which obviously you can't keep if you go down to the Championship. I mean, Fulham are probably in a better position than West Brom are, but I do think Sam will navigate his way through the Championship and bring West Brom straight back.
We have to show something after a huge disappointment that really hurt. We needed to win, and it's all we can do now in the Premier League, try to win our football matches and see where we finish at the end.
West Ham 0, Everton 1, and a masterclass, you have to say, from Carlo Ancelotti, because he switched to a back three and smothered all of West Ham's threats.
Really important because keep us in the fight for Europe, and so that was our target. Difficult, but after the defeat against Aston Villa, we need a result here, because if you don't get a result here, you are out. We were focused, we had strong motivation, we defended well, good spirit. It will be fantastic for us to reach the sixth position in the table.
David Moyes had 63% possession in the first half, but just didn't muster a shot on target.
I thought we played very well today. We played very well with the ball, something we're trying to improve on. So if I was judging improvement, I would say that was a big step forward in that today. But when it got into the final third, we didn't capitalise. And in truth, we played really well at Burnley in midweek, but we made more openings and we still didn't take them. So even against Burnley in midweek, we had numerous opportunities. Today we didn't, and the one or two we did get, we didn't take.
For Gibbs White, and Gibbs White has lashed it into the net, his first Premier League goal, and surely all 3 points for Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Very proud, because they deserve it. They deserve it. In the second half, they did a fantastic job. So let's try to repeat this on the 90 minutes. It's something that we have to correct, and the way we go in the match, our approach is not the right one. So we must build on that.
I've said all along, until you get the points that you're mathematically there, you've got to keep fighting for the points. And nothing's changed from our perspective. We've got another 3 matches to play. We need to focus on the next game, which is West Ham, like you say. Recover, lick our wounds and go again.
Now over to game day and the Champions League final dress rehearsal, which of course is a saying you're going to hear from now until the end of May, and it will probably drive you mad. Where of course Chelsea, would you believe, beat Manchester City 2-1 down at the Etihad. City of course fluffed their lines to win the title, with Sergio Aguero choking on the big stage, missing a penalty with the worst Peninka of all time. Oh, I think I'll be clever and win the title. Well, it didn't work, did it? Now, before the game, Kevin De Bruyne spoke exclusively to Talk Sport and claimed that City would potentially dominate football for the next 50 years. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, he was joking. Anyway, here's Aguero and that penalty he later apologised for to Wright. And please, do not play the laughter track.
He steps up, right-footed. Oh, and he chips the ball straight into the arms of Edouard Mendy. The most casual, pathetic penalty you have ever seen.
Oh, you're horrible. But good work.
The only justification of this is if it goes in. Well, you could probably argue that on any penalty given. If it goes in, it's fine. But it's something that I just think it's an ego thing, and it's not. It's like the underarm in tennis. It's like rolling the ball in cricket, bowling the ball under. You know, I just find all that
bit
just
disrespectful.
Well, a bit disrespectful. And also is, you don't need to. You just don't need to. You score a penalty, score it the proper way.
The siren seems to be the hardest word.
He's missed a penalty. He's not said, right, I'm going to do the Panenka to miss it. I mean, he's trying to bring a bit of value to it and score a goal. He's missed a penalty. He's not the first one or last one to do that. So I'm not sure why he's apologising for it.
This team is set up in such a good way that I think they can do that for the next 4 years in my case. But I think the way they set up from top to bottom, what I saw, I think they are ready to set themselves up, if they stay this way, to be good for the next 50 years.
Comes back to Alonso, scoops it in, and it's a winner for Chelsea in stoppage time. And that will dash any hopes that the title is going to be won here today.
We want to do it as quick as possible, because in football, in sport, it's never guaranteed. So you have to win it, you have to do it. Still, we are not here. We are the first option to do it. And now we have 5-6 days to recover and think about the game again against Newcastle.
We are very well aware that it starts from scratch and the final is a final, which might sound boring, but it's the truth. It's the context of a final is very special. And still, we will arrive with the knowledge, with the experience to having beaten them twice now in a short period of time. And this should help us to arrive with full confidence, because this is the most important in a final.
Now, staying with game day, and Leeds United beat Spurs 3-1 at Elland Road, with Patrick Bamford scoring in front of the England boss Gareth Southgate with a capacity crowd of one. Harry Kane had a perfectly good goal chalked off due to the fact that he forgot to cut his toenails in the morning, according to Barry Groves, or something like that. Tottenham won't now finish in the top six, meaning Kane will leave in the summer. So says Mickey Gray. Anyway, here's commentator Sam What's the Matter With Your Face with a bit of a rant over VAR.
I am absolutely fed up to the back teeth of not knowing whether or not something is being checked, being reviewed, whether it is or it isn't. You're sitting in a stadium, you haven't got a clue what's going on. If you're a supporter, it sometimes can depend where in the stadium you're actually sitting as to whether or not you know if there's a VAR check going on.
Harry Kane lifts it over the goalkeeper and Tottenham lead and the flag goes up. Belatedly did look just offside. It will be checked.
The fans who sit in one part of the stadium with none the wiser than others who can see the big screen, get a system like the Champions League where everyone in the press box, because funnily enough, not everyone is watching on TV and has access like they do to the sound from the VAR in their ears. Give it to everyone. Get it on the scoreboards. Get it on the monitors in the press box. Force stadiums to have scoreboards that everybody who pays their entry money can see. And if we are going to do it, let's do it properly. I'm fed up of amateur hour. It's the Premier League.
And the eagle eyes of Danny Mills were never ever in any kind of doubt
at least 2 millimetres offside. That was, anyone can see that.
That isn't offside, because you're getting something that's been struck off for, at worst, I thought it was level, right?
Yes.
At worst, it's his little left toe, whatever. Yeah. And the way that he took the goal was art. It's like the dink coming over. So that's why you pay, if you're watching the telly, that's what you pay to see. That's ridiculous. The offside rule has to change. It has to change because there's too many good goals that are being struck off. The VAR, if he'd have just gone, no, it's onside, no one would have complained.
No.
Nobody would have complained at all.
Harry Kane will leave Tottenham this summer. I don't think they'll finish in the top six. West Ham are not going to go away. Liverpool ain't going to go away. They're not going to catch Leicester.
And for the 15th time this season, Patrick Bamford finds the back of a Premier League net.
You need to do more than score goals to get into the England squad, but keep trying to do what I can in the last four games and see what happens. I mean, I've done all I can and just keep pushing.
Now, the British boxer Billy Joe Saunders was stopped in the eighth round by Saul Canelo Alvarez in their super middleweight title fight in Texas. The place, not the DIY store from the 90s or 80s. Anyway, the Mexican fighter damaged Saunders' right eye with an uppercut, which he couldn't recover from. Boxing journalist Andy Clark said BJS, yeah, that's what I said, did well, but SCA, Canelo, was a different level.
He can hit and move and make things very difficult for anybody. And he did make things quite difficult for Canelo during periods of that fight. The first round was very, very tight. The three scoring judges at ringside all gave him that opening round. Canelo, though, I thought over the course of the eight completed rounds that we did see, I had him 5-3 up after eight rounds. Two of the judges had him 6-2 up. The other one had it same as me, 5-3. And he had his moments, particularly in round five. He had a good, strong round and he posed some serious questions for the Mexican. But Canelo is just that level of fighter that there's always that threat there. He's always just on top of you, taking your space. He's always within punching range. And when he lands, it looks heavy. So even though I had it close-ish through eight rounds, you could see that Canelo was taking over, I thought, at that stage. And he had a massive eighth round. He had a huge eighth round.
Staying with boxing, GAD, Gareth A. Davis, said that the Joshua Fury contract is still not yet agreed. Oh, that's a surprise. Although it's looking likely to take place on August the 14th in the Middle East, if it happens, which of course it probably won't, or will. No one really cares until it's signed. So sign it!
Sources close to Fury are telling me they're still not optimistic of the announcement tonight. They've moved towards a date which is looking at August 14th, still in the Middle East. Tyson Fury's been in and around Eddie Hearn all week. The final heads of agreement contract with the Saudis doing their due diligence is not quite there yet. For me, this was D-Day in many ways.
This week, but I will tell you, it's 100% being announced this week. I've said that a few times. We had a good meeting with the governing bodies where, you know, we confirmed our position to them for the fight, so I'm not going to say too much.
And we finish with Danny Kelly and the gang on Andy Goldstein's Trans Europe Express, which a lot of people say not as good as when I used to do it. Okay, not even me. It is better with Danny.
We know there's been a lot of speculation about whether the Champions League final would and should go ahead in Istanbul, bearing in mind, of course, that they have been added to the government's red list, which basically means that no supporters from either Manchester City or Chelsea would be able to attend the game should it go ahead in Turkey as planned. Well, we're hearing tonight that UEFA are to hold formal talks with the British government tomorrow, with a decision expected by the middle of the week about possibly moving the game to Wembley Stadium.
I think from a PR perspective, this is a win for UEFA if this is the way that they go, because if you had lots of fans, as soon as the red list announcement was made, it was going to make this incredibly difficult. And if you're seen to be either, you know, putting people in danger or just creating problems where you don't need to, then that doesn't look great for UEFA. So I think this does offer them a route to change thing, even though this will be 2 years in a row where Istanbul have lost the final effectively. I think there is a way around it. And so this seems a very sensible way forward, and it'll just be about small concessions from UEFA. But if they can get the capacity up over 20,000, that will look good as well for it as a spectacle.
That's it. Thanks for listening on the TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm back on my show tonight, Andy Austin Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday, 10 p.m. with, of course, the fun boy taking your calls after Fulham play Burnley in a Premier League relegation six-pointer. I'll be honest, we probably won't take calls on that. It'd be a bit of a bore draw. But anyway, there will be another one of these Andy Austin TalkSport Daily podcasts out first thing in the morning, so do what you've got to do to get it. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a great day. And above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.